Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come together and worship you. Lord, I ask you to keep me on topic. I ask that you would give me the strength and energy required to preach your word. I ask, Lord, that you would give me the words that you want heard, that are important for the people that are here right now. And as we dive into your word, Lord, show us some new thing that we haven't seen before. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here we are in Bethlehem, and this is the night that Jesus is born. Joseph and Mary have made their trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem because everybody had to go to basically to where their family line started, and that's how they registered all these people. They took a census, and when they took a census, they also took a tax. So it doesn't say anything about how much the tax was, but you knew when you got there you were going to have to pay some taxes. And so we get here to this place, and it's a very familiar story. There wasn't any room for them in the inn, and so they ended up in the stable out back. And all of history had been moving toward this particular night. All of history had focused on this one particular night, from the Garden of Eden, when God promised that there would be one that would take away the sin of the world, that Christ's heel would crush Satan's head, and that Satan would bruise his heel. That was the first promise of the Christ. All the roads of Scripture wound toward Bethlehem. Some of them kind of gradually, some of them very directly. Prophesied of Bethlehem, prophesied of the things to come, prophesied of the Christ. Mary and Joseph had come only from Nazareth, but the ages had been waiting for them to arrive. This was a culmination of all kinds of prophecy. Micah had said that they would be there. Micah had said that they were going to be in Bethlehem. I'm sure, perhaps, that when Mary got the information from Gabriel that she had been chosen to be the one who would bear the Christ child, that she had found favor with the Lord. I'm sure that living there in Nazareth, she probably was thinking, the scripture says that the child would be born in Bethlehem, but here I am in Nazareth. You know, how are we going to get, how is this going to fit? Because Micah 5:2 says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This was a night of miracles. This night of miracles had long been on heaven's calendar. It was the first thing on heaven's calendar. Before the foundation of the world, God's plan for our salvation was in place. Angels looked forward to their appointments with Mary and Joseph and the wise men. Words of the prophets awaited fulfillment. Prophets 700 and 800 years before had prophesied specific things about the coming Christ child. They had prophesied about the virgin birth. They had prophesied that it would be in Bethlehem. They had prophesied many things about Christ's birth. The baby in Mary's womb would soon light up the night. So what are the miracles of Christmas? There are several. The miracle of the humble birth that we saw in verses 1 through 7 of what we read, the birth of Christ wasn't even in a regular bedroom. It wasn't at home. They were on the road when this child was born. They were in a manger when this child was born, a barn, so to speak. Actually, it was kind of a hollowed out space in the rock, and they would put some fencing around the front of it, but it would give the animals some shelter from the elements. So their manger wasn't like our barn. It wasn't a building out, it wasn't a large building like we see here. Their manger was a place in a rock where it was hollowed out enough for animals to get in and get out of the weather. And his bed was a manger, a feeding trough, a place where they put the hay and stuff for the animals. Christ comes down from heaven to a stable. He enters the world from the womb of a virgin. It is this baby's world. This world was created by Jesus Christ. It belongs to him. He owns it. And it was his world. And it was made by him. John 1:10 tells us he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He has come down to redeem it. That was his purpose in coming, was to redeem it. His world will reject him. And we see that all through his life, beginning with Herod and his attack on every child that was 2 years old and younger, when he sent out a decree that all those children should be put to the sword. Consider the contrasts of Christ's condescension. Consider the contrasts that he was dealing with. He went from the fragrance of heaven to the stench of a stable. He went from the worship of angels to the rejection by the innkeeper. We don't have room, go out back. He also went from the worship of angels to the rejection of men. He went from the songs of the saints to the braying of donkeys. He went from a robe of royalty to wrappings of rags. He went from a mansion in heaven to a manger on earth. He came down to save you and me. He lowered himself till he was in a place that he could gather us up and take us with him. He lowered himself to a place where he could be our Savior. The miracle, another miracle, is the miracle of the heavenly hosts. We read it in verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's a couple of things I want you to notice in this particular passage. One of them is that the good news was to all people. It wasn't just to the Jews. The Jews thought that the Messiah that had been prophesied for them alone. They thought that it was going to be a Jewish king that reestablished the Jewish kingdom. And God has a much bigger kingdom in mind, not just the Jewish kingdom. In its greatest day, under Solomon, it was never a giant kingdom. It never was a Rome or an Assyria or any of the huge kingdoms that were there in history. By comparison, it was a very small kingdom, and the I'm sorry, I've lost, had a train wreck. You know what a train wreck is? I lost my train of thought completely, and so it's a train wreck. Angels have been busy since the fullness of time has come. They've been busy of late in this particular time in history. Gabriel went and visited Zacharias and Mary and told Zacharias that his wife would conceive, and Zacharias didn't believe him. And because Zacharias didn't believe him, Gabriel said, "This is your sign. You, a preacher, are not going to be able to say a word until your child is born, and you're going to call his name John." And until Zacharias wrote the baby's name as being John, he could not speak. And when he wrote that child's name, his speech was allowed to return. And he'd also been to Mary to let her know that she was going to conceive and give birth to the Messiah. That Gabriel didn't wait until after she had conceived. Gabriel came and told her beforehand. She could have decided not to believe. She could have decided not to say, "Be it to your handmaid as you have said." But she accepted what God had in store for her, knowing the problems that it would cause her. She wasn't married yet. She was betrothed, but was not married yet. And she knew that this was going to cause her problems, social problems, in the village and so forth. The angel of the Lord has advised Joseph in a dream not to put his wife away in divorce, not to do it either openly and shamefully or quietly, either way. He told Joseph that this child was from God. This child was going to be the Messiah, and that Mary had done nothing wrong. Now angels will carry their message to the Judean hillsides to talk to the shepherds and let them know. The lowest part of the Jewish society, shepherds were considered unclean. They weren't allowed to come into the inner court of the temple. They were only allowed in the outer court of the temple. These hillsides around Bethlehem were where Rachel's tomb was located. They were where Samuel had anointed David to be king over Israel. And this is where Ruth had gleaned the fields of Boaz. So there have been great things in history that have occurred in these fields around Bethlehem. Shepherds must be notified of the Savior's birth, and so they were. The heavenly chorus will sing of peace on earth. Now, I don't know about the singing. That's kind of what is accepted, because the passage that is given is poetic, where they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But the text says they were saying that. So what might have sounded glorious to the shepherds and what might have sounded like singing to the shepherds may have been simply saying it to the angels. This is a miracle night. This miracle night is a night to remember. The miracle of God's work in the hearts of men is another one that occurs. And we read that in verses 5 through 20, where the shepherds went away from there changed. And as they went away from there, they told everyone they could tell all the things that they'd heard about this baby in a manger. And the people that heard it just marveled at it. And Mary didn't marvel at it. She knew. Mary wasn't surprised at it because Gabriel had already given her the heads up. Mary already understood. But Mary took all of these things in and just pondered them in her heart and worked them around so that they would all fit together. The Roman Empire and its taxing census brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary had to be brought to Bethlehem. Empires are easily moved to fulfill God's will. God will move nations and empires. He will raise some up and fell others in order to fulfill his prophecies. Empires are easily moved to fulfill God's will, but prophecy must be fulfilled. Shepherds will become evangelists. Shepherds will declare Christ. They're the first ones to declare Christ. Wise men will journey for far, following a star that appears to them. The actors in this drama of the ages are all in place. Christ is born, which, by the way, is the greatest miracle of all of that night, is that God would come to earth incarnate as a man so that he might save men from their sins. But the miracles will continue. They weren't isolated to that night. Like the shepherds, many will come to Jesus. Like the wise men, many will worship him. Have you become one of the miracles of Christmas? Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you worshiping him? Your own miracle awaits. Your own miracle awaits with Jesus Christ if you have not. Do we bring gifts to the Christ child? And what gifts do we bring? Come in faith to Jesus and know the miracle of his salvation, because that was his purpose in coming. That's the only reason that he came. And if that's not fulfilled in your life, then the prophecy for you is not yet fulfilled. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to come to you. We're thankful that you give us times of invitation when the Holy Spirit works on our hearts. Lord, I ask that if anyone has been touched by the Holy Spirit today, regardless of what I've said, but whatever you have said to their heart, if they need to make a decision, I ask, Lord, that you would give them the courage and the strength to make that decision. And Lord, if they need to make it public, then I ask that you would give them the courage to do that. Whatever the case may be, let us, Lord, come to this Christmas season bowing in front of a manger for the where the Christ child was born, bowing knowing that he was born to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bowing knowing that he has come to save us. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.